Yasmin did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Northwest as you listen. This is their story. In Stockport, one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, healthcare workers cannot get trained while hospital wards go understaffed. The people exist, the training facilities exist, the vacant posts exist, but Health Education England says there is no money to connect them.
My gran had her stroke when I was 17. I watched her learn to walk again, one step at a time, with this physiotherapist called Sarah, who made her laugh even when the exercises hurt. That's when I knew what I wanted to do. Not the dramatic stuff you see on television, the quiet, steady work of helping people rebuild their strength. I grew up in Hazel Grove, did my sports science degree at Manchester Met, graduated in 2014. Worked as a gym instructor while I saved money for postgraduate training. My mum's a healthcare assistant at Stepping Hill Hospital, and she'd come home talking about how they were always short-staffed on the wards. We could use 10 more physios, she'd say. Patients lying in bed longer than they need to because there's no one to get them moving. It felt like everything was pointing me toward this work. In 2019, I applied for physiotherapy training places through Health Education England Northwest. The admissions officer called me back personally. I'm sorry, she said. We've got 200 qualified applicants this year, but only 40 funded places across the entire region. I asked how that was possible when every hospital seemed desperate for staff. The Treasury has capped our training budget, she explained. We simply cannot afford more places. It sounded reasonable at first. Budgets have limits. I accepted it. I looked into private physiotherapy courses, but the fees were £18,000. I was earning £18,000 a year at the gym. I applied again in 2020, then 2021. Same response every time, same apologetic tone, same explanation about budget caps. In 2022, I tried a different approach. I contacted Stockport NHS Foundation Trust directly about opportunities. The workforce manager was frank with me. We've got 15 unfilled physiotherapy posts right now, she said, but there's no funding for new training places. Health Education England controls that budget, not us. I started asking more questions. That's when I discovered that Manchester Metropolitan University had actually reduced their physiotherapy course intake, not because they couldn't teach the students, but because Health Education England couldn't fund the clinical placements. I went to see for myself. The physiotherapy department had these beautiful labs, simulation equipment, treatment tables, some of it barely used. I met a lecturer in the corridor who'd taught on my sports science course. Could you train more students, Tia? I asked her. She looked around, then said quietly, "We could train twice as many. Look at this place." She gestured at an empty lab with 8 treatment beds. This room should be full every day, but the funding formula treats each training place as a cost rather than an investment. That's when something clicked. I'd spent 3 years accepting that there was no money for training, but I was standing in a room with empty beds, talking to lecturers who wanted to teach about hospital wards that needed staff. If the people existed, and the equipment existed, and the need existed, what exactly was it that there was no money for? The lecturer explained how it worked. Health Education England gets its budget from the Treasury. The Treasury allocates a fixed amount for training places, then tells Health Education England to make it stretch. It's not based on how many physiotherapists the hospitals need, she said. It's based on what the Treasury decides it can afford to spend this year. I went home that night and looked up how government spending works. The government that issues the pound told me it couldn't find enough pounds to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. But it's the same government that created those pounds in the first place. They don't dig them out of the ground or borrow them from someone else. They create them when they spend. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed. They did. Whether the skills could be taught. They could. Whether the materials and facilities were available, they were. All of them, sitting idle while someone in Westminster said the cupboard was bare. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It's the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household doesn't issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still watching, still working at the gym, still seeing the gap between what exists and what gets used. My mum still comes home from Stepping Hill talking about understaffed wards. The physiotherapy labs at Manchester Met are still half empty. The need is still there. But I understand now that this isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says there isn't enough money to connect them. The resources were always there. The decision not to use them was political, not financial.
What Yasmin experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique relies on citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident truth. It's like the tobacco industry funding scientists who insisted smoking was safe, then citing those same scientists as neutral authorities. The appearance of expertise masks the ideological commitment. Every time Yasmin was told there is no money, she was hearing from people who treated government budgets like household budgets. Health Education England administrators, Treasury officials, workforce managers, all repeating the same false analogy as though it were economic law. The admissions officer who said we simply cannot afford more places wasn't lying. She believed it. She'd been trained to believe it. But economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. The UK government issues its own currency. It doesn't need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. In Stockport, those resources were sitting idle. Empty training labs, qualified applicants, understaffed wards. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Stockport ranks 132 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025. The constituency has 810 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £15.2 million, according to 360 Giving Grant NAVA. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.